It's a good day. Amen. We're here because of the love of God. He has expressed it. Jesus came, as Brother Robert shared with us in the communion meditation, leaving the glories of heaven to come down to this world to touch our lives, to be a blessing to all humanity, to become the Redeemer for all mankind. And Brother Robert shared from the thoughts that of the scriptures that we can trust that God loves us. We believe that. We have faith in that. We had a passage of scripture in the opening Brother Ted read from the book of Hebrews, that God created all things from what? Nothing. But boom, it was there by the will of God. We believe that. That is faith. Have you heard the story about the little boy that experienced faith, and he had faith in his prayer? And one night he was praying, "Dear God, please take care of my mommy. Please take care of my daddy. Please take care of my sister. And please take care of my brother. And please take care of Quantum, my dog." Oh, that wasn't you, was it, Brother Bob? And God, please take care of yourself, because if you don't take care of yourself, we're going to be in a horrible fix. Do we have that kind of prayer that we would trust that God is in control of all things? Scripture assures us that God is in total control. He has all power, all authority, and it's humanity that is out of control. People are out of control. And so God is concerned about us. He calls for us to have faith in Him, to grow in our faith and obedience to Him through Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 11, 1 gives us a definition of faith. What is this faith? And we had that passage read for us, but let's refresh our memory. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, another translation has it, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's there. Believe it. Trust it. God is in control. So how big is your faith? How big is my faith? How big is our faith? Those who believe in that God loves us and that He has given us a Savior, it's recorded in the Bible. We should have big expectations if we have a belief in this God. After all, He created how much? Everything. Now, we're just a tiny little minuscule dot on this globe, and compared to the universe, we are almost, you know, somebody would say nothing. And yet God loves us people so much that He came into this world. Jesus claimed He has all authority, has all power, and so we need to develop big faith, big expectations. We serve the God who reigns over everything, who has all control. He even conquered death for us. Dreamers and adventurers through the centuries have had all kinds of faith. They used to write and speak about the possibilities of going across the ocean. And they made it. And then they started talking about going into the depths of the sea. And they made it. They started talking about flying in the air. Oh, you got to be ridiculous. Nobody can fly. Or inhabiting space. And most of those people were laughed at in the beginning. But what has happened? All of that has been accomplished. And not only that, but people are still thinking about how they can even expand their exploration of going beyond. Now we have people who are dreaming about and preparing to fly to other planets and even possibly galaxies. Is that possible? Oh, they got to be crazy. They're science fiction lunatics. But what is possible. All things are possible to those who believe. These are lofty and ambitious goals. Would we see them in our lifetime? You don't know. You know, old Dick Tracy had that fancy wristwatch. How many of you have one like it now today or seen one? I've seen it. What about your goals and dreams or those for this congregation? What do we want to see? How big are your desires and prayers in serving the crucified and risen Lord and Savior? How far do you want the good news of forgiveness from sin and eternal life to reach in our county, in our state, in our world? How many more people do you think should be here in with us worshiping God today? Do we need to improve on some of our outreach? Do we need to develop new ministries to help people who are struggling in life? And I say it's we. It can't be just me. It's got to be all of us working together. How big is our faith? How big is our love? In the name of Jesus. The first century disciples of Jesus were stretched beyond their comfort zone, beyond their personal limits, as they followed the path of Jesus. The Lord identified their problem as they went through life. They were guilty of little faith. In our text, we find Jesus identifying this. But they kept trying. They had to develop new ways of thinking as they walked with the Creator of time and space. The limits of human ability, which had them shackled, had to be broken. The disciples, the apostles, had to break free from what was common, what was standard, what was the routine, so that they could walk in the path of righteousness, in the path of faith. Even after being handpicked by Christ, these 12 consecrated, devoted students of righteousness were found guilty of little faith. They learned to renew their dedication. They learned to cut off the bonds of human limits in order to serve the eternal Father in the path of righteousness, in the path of power, power from on high, which He prepared for them. The faith of these Judean men was transformed by Jesus so that they were no longer guilty of little faith, but they reached the world, the first century world, with the good news. There's life in Jesus Christ. They became ambassadors for God, filled with His power, moving forward in faith, no longer guilty of little faith. Let's read our text today to see the situation. Here we are about two-thirds of the way through the ministry of Christ. Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. When they came back to the disciples, let me back up here and just give you a refresher. Jesus, Peter, James, and John had been up on the mountaintop, and they had an experience up there. If you remember, last week we preached about that. So, and here they are coming back down the mountain, talking about they came back to the disciples. They saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. Immediately when the entire crowd saw him, they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing with them?" And one of the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it. And he answered them and said, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. They brought the boy to him. When he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, How long has this been happening to him? And he said, From childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Jesus said to him, If you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again. After crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, He's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up. When he came into the house, his disciples began questioning him privately, Why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, This kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. Would you join me in prayer? Father, thank you for your blessing, your goodness, your touch upon us as individuals, as people, as sinners. Your grace and mercies are abounding. To those who would seek your will, to those who would believe in your redemption that comes in Christ. Father, help us to continue to grow in our faith, in our devotion, in our commitment to serve you through thick and thin, good days, bad days, all the time. Father, let us not be guilty of little faith, but to grow in our faith, to learn as we read the Scriptures, to trust in you, to let your Spirit work in us, through us, powerfully, that it's not our power, that it's not our will to be done, but it's your will to be done, your work to be accomplished before Jesus returns. Father, we thank you for your help. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the Scriptures. Guide us, direct us, open up the closets of our hearts, reveal to us where we are weak. Help us to clean out the weakness and let your strength and your power to fully fill us for your work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thought I want to deal with is the disciples faced challenges greater than themselves. The disciples had a big challenge ahead of them. Here they were to start the church in the near future. And they had to grow out of their routine of doing everything the way it had always been to be followers of Jesus Christ. And that involved a lot of great challenges to be dealt with. Peter, James, and John had just experienced the thrill of a lifetime up there on the mountain. Mountaintop experiences is a phrase we a lot of time use to describe experiencing being closer to God. They had seen Jesus in a conversation with Moses and Elijah, who had been gone for so long, for centuries. And they'd seen Jesus in his glory. In the meantime, while they're up there experiencing this mountaintop experience, the rest of the disciples are down there in the trenches, is the phrase we use, in the regular routine hubbub of the everyday life, helping people, healing the desperate people that were coming with their sick, their maimed, their ill, their demon-possessed. Thousands of people were seeking help constantly from Jesus. The word was out, the healers in the area, and they were bringing everybody to have His touch and His help. And the apostles had been given that ability to heal, to help and to heal, to strengthen people, to cast out demons. The 12 disciples had the power of the Holy Spirit. given by Jesus. This had occurred previous to this event. Back in chapter 6, we looked at that. We studied about it. They had been with Jesus for about 2 years at this point. They had observed the power of God working through Jesus. They themselves even had that power. They had been sent out to preach the gospel, and they were empowered to perform miracles in the name of Jesus, in the name of God, and they came back with positive reports. Here they are dealing with the situation with a crowd around them and taking care of those needs once again. Peter has just made the good confession. What is the confession? They believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's found in chapter 8, verse 29. Most of us refer to Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, but it's recorded here in Mark as well. Peter stated, you know, and Jesus asked him, who do people say I am? Who do you think I am? Peter came out point blank. You are the Christ. He was staking his life on it. He believed it. He had faith in Jesus. Now, suddenly the disciples ran into a stubborn opponent of the power of God, the power that is stronger than evil, the power that is stronger than decay. But this spirit is opposing them. Everything had been going well up to this point. Their mission tour was fantastic. Their daily routine of service was fantastic. And so we have to ask some questions. Were the disciples lacking resources? No. They had the power of God. They had the Holy Spirit right there with them, available to them. Were the disciples lacking knowledge? Maybe they don't know what they're doing. Well, Jesus had been teaching them for how long? 2 years. They were obeying an order from Jesus to heal people. They were following directions. Were the disciples lacking prayer? Oh, prayer? Yes, they were lacking prayer. According to Mark's account, we read that in the very last verse, chapter 9, that we read, verse 29. They lacked prayer. What is prayer? Communication with God the Father. Were the disciples lacking faith? Now, we don't find it here in our text, but the answer is yes. Their faith was not big enough. They had little faith. And the reason we know that is when we go to the same situation recorded by Matthew, the apostle. So if you look at Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, Matthew records Jesus' response to the disciples, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Nothing will be impossible if your faith is great enough. Now, it's interesting, Matthew also includes a little bit more that Mark does not have. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, the next verse, Jesus adds that prayer and fasting were lacking. There's a little bit of problem with that verse. It's not recorded. It's not written in the most ancient manuscripts. But it does not contradict what the rest of Scripture says, especially when we have in Mark's account that Jesus identifies the lack of prayer on the part of the disciples. Maybe the disciples had become slack or haphazard in their care and handling of the power of God. Hey, you wake up in the morning, what do you expect to see? Light? You expect to get up. You expect the sun to come. How many of you control the sun, the movement of the sun or the clouds or anything? We don't control that. We just expect it's supposed to happen, right? And these disciples have been waking up in a routine where God had been with them and, hey, God's supposed to be with me today, right? God, follow my directions. Whoa, slow down here. Who's in control? It's to be God. Did the disciples lose focus of their call by reverting back to their selfishness, becoming so involved with meeting their own interests, their own needs, that they didn't have time to delay to even pray for God's help for the day? Or possibly even to, as Matthew suggests, to skip a meal, to fast and pray and ask God's blessing on their day. Is it their power at work, or is it God's power at work? We don't know exactly what went on in their minds, but Jesus said they were lacking. They're lackeys. You're lacking prayer. Matthew's account, you're lacking some fasting. You're lacking trusting in God. You're trying to do this on your own. The disciples faced some great challenges. Are we any different? Let's go on to our next section. We face challenges greater than ourselves. Don't you face things that are bigger than you? About every day, sometimes several times a day. We need help. There's a massive spiritual battle raging all around us. Jesus calls you and me to fight in this battle. But it's a battle bigger than we are. Jesus teaches that there is a spiritual battle raging in us, not only around us, but in us. Jesus says that there are only two masters to choose from. We will serve one or the other. We cannot serve both. We'll either serve God or we will serve Satan. And there's a battle going on in our decision process, in our choices that we make. Satan is the destroyer, and he hates God, and he hates everything related to God. He is out to stop goodness. All of a person's actions, our life, our hobbies, reveal which of these two masters we are serving, that you are serving. And so we as individuals need to examine our lives. Are we wholly committed to God to face whatever challenge comes our way to represent God and not me? Do we get me in front of thee? The apostles were very aware of the spiritual battle raging around them. They repeatedly saw Jesus cast out the unseen demons from numerous afflicted people, and now from this little boy that they couldn't help. Jesus warned that if we do not fill our life with God and with His Spirit, we remain open, vulnerable, and receptive to the rule of Satan, evil, and darkness. Evil spirits can possess us. I don't know if you caught it. When Jesus commanded the evil spirit out of the boy, he says, leave him and do not return. Jesus told a parable about an individual, a spirit left, and then came back around, and the person had not filled their life with God. And so this evil spirit brought himself and seven more demons along with him to fill the individual? Are we protecting ourselves from evil? Ephesians 6 instructs us on how to arm ourselves against those powers. Put on the full armor of God from the feet to the top. Amen? How do we do that? Taking God's word into our heart, into our life, to fight the spiritual battles. Take time to read God's word. Apply God's word to your daily living. Think about God's ways, God's truth, God's life. It has been said that if good men do nothing, then evil will thrive. It will take over. The majority of the Old Testament is a witness to Israel racing through a furnace of trials due to their failure to stay true to God, to walk in faith with God, choosing to serve Satan and evil instead of the living God, choosing to break the law instead of follow the law. We in the United States are experiencing this problem at an alarming rate. Influential enemies of biblical truth and righteousness are eroding away our national moral foundation. Education czars are erasing all references to our founding fathers' Christian faith. How many of you were taught of the faith of our founders in school? I didn't learn about it in school. I had to find other sources. God has been kicked out of the public schools, colleges, and universities in favor of a fairy tale dogma of evolution and human wisdom and intellect. We are smarter. We're getting smarter, and we're so smart. Pat yourself on the back. Don't break your arm while you're doing it. Courthouses are being ordered to remove replicas and references to the Ten Commandments. And laws are being cast aside and trampled under feet. Criminals are being set free. The Supreme Court has thrown God and the Bible under the bus of human rights, rejecting God's plan of marriage between one man and one woman. They have made it a law that you have to accept the sinful perversion. Many churches have abandoned God's eternal word and truth by adopting Satan's lies as their standard. Do we have a battle before us? We do. Will we stand strong in God's truth, in God's power, and in God's love? The test lies before us. Yes, we are facing challenges greater than ourselves. How will we do it? By faith. By obedience to God's word. We must face these challenges with greater faith, to not slack, to not give up. We read in the scripture, we had a study this morning of praying and what? Fasting and walking by faith. They became the standard of living for the first century disciples. The book of Acts records their beginning steps of facing a hostile world. But was the world not having a need for God? The reality was they were desperate for God. And Jesus says that the fields were white unto harvest. So as the disciples went out, yes, they faced a lot of opposition, but multitudes came to believe and obey. Just as the first century Christians boldly proclaimed God's word, we too must tell others of life in Jesus Christ. They're not going to hear it from anybody else. They're not going to get it on the news. They're going to get it only from those who believe. Those who walk in faith. That means us. Just as Jesus was critical of his 12 disciples, he is critical of our faith, of our obedience. A lot of people describe Jesus as, oh, he loves everybody. And he would never criticize you, would he? Jesus has his standards of righteousness, of obedience, of truth, of goodness. Our witness and our service for Jesus has eternal consequences. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and following, that our entry into heaven is affected by our personal witness of him. If we won't stand up for Jesus, he will not stand up for us before God the Father. So Jesus warned the Christians of Laodicea, "I know your deeds, that they are neither cold nor hot. I wish that they were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." The literal is, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I will have nothing to do with you because you're not committed. He urges them to zealously repent. And then he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and what? And knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me." He is talking to Christians, people who claim they're following Jesus already. And he says, "You got me locked outside. You're not serving me. You're not hot. You're not committed. Get committed. Be bold. Walk in faith. Walk in boldness with the power of God." Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, Jesus commissioned us to be light and salt in this world. In Matthew's version of our text, Jesus identifies the failure of the disciples was due to what? Their little faith. Change it. Get rid of the little faith. Build your faith. Be strong. And today we must focus on growing a greater faith. Pushing ourselves. Encouraging each other. Helping each other to have a greater faith in the power of Jesus Christ. We may not grow. But we're definitely not going to grow if we don't stand up and be bold in our faith. People need to hear of Jesus Christ. You encourage me, I encourage you, we encourage each other, we help each other stand in the truth of Scripture, and God will bring to himself those who will believe. Jesus calls. And his sheep will follow. Will we do our part in spreading the good news? Will we share the grain of goodness and draw in the sheep that God wants to come? You and I have many challenges to face on a daily basis. But as we face those challenges, let us not be guilty of little faith. Each of us must be sure that our thinking and our actions are in God's faithfulness, his truth, that we are bold witnesses for Jesus. We must each be a student of the Scripture, knowledgeable in the eternal Word, you know, all of us growing in knowledge and understanding, trusting the Holy Spirit to help us. Is the Holy Spirit dead and gone? No, he's still alive and well, and he will help us. If we will step forward in faith, let's faithfully help each other in gathering regularly, continually, as the saints, to worship our God, to worship our Redeemer, to strengthen and encourage and correct and instruct each other in the truth, in the walk of faith in Jesus Christ. Let God's power reign in you through faith. In Jesus Christ. If there are things that are weighing on you, that you have questions or concerns, I encourage you to talk with one of the elders, myself. We are here to help each other to grow in obedience and faith and service of Jesus Christ. If you have praises, let us know. Good things, let us know. Share with the church family how God is working in you, through you, and praise Him for all that He does. We've got heaven to look forward to. Amen? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's be true. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, thank You for Your goodness, Your kindness, Your touch upon our lives, for giving Your power to us, just as You gave Your power to the apostles. Father, Your Spirit is working according to His plan in each individual, as each individual needs. Thank You. Thank You for the assurance that Jesus is coming again, returning in power and majesty and glory, and that an eternal home is being prepared for us. Father, help us, encourage us to be a people of faith, growing stronger and stronger in Your will, in Your way, in Your truth. Thank You for this day. Thank You for Your word of life. And we praise You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.